evening. There's a story of a Franciscan priest who had three vows of poverty, chastity, obedience. And it's right in the middle of Lent that he got a sick call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Someone in his parish was dying. So he dressed and he headed off quickly to give this person the last rites. But it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and he had to cross through a very difficult part of the time, his town, going through a dark alley. And all of a sudden he felt behind him a sharp piece of metal that was pointed at his back. And it was a gun. There was a thief behind him with a gun, and he said, "Your money or your life?" And the Franciscan said, "Well, look, I have no money because I have a vow of poverty." However, he pulled out a Milky Way bar and said, "I'll give this to you." And the thief said, "No thanks, Father, I gave that up for Lent." We're wearing pink today, and two times during the year we have the option to wear pink. And that is when we're getting very close to Christmas, which is the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The other is when we're getting close to the Paschal Mystery. That is to say, Holy Week, we celebrate the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now this pink, it symbolizes joy. It symbolizes joy. Because as Catholics, Catholic Christians, we should be joyful people. We should be joyful people. And if you do not experience joy, you should ask the Holy Spirit to help you to find out why is the reason why you're not joyful. Very much related to the gospel today. Why is it that so many people today, they want to be joyful, but they're sad? I've heard statistics that say as many as 20% of the Americans, those who live in this country, have to take some type of pill to cope with depression. About 5 years ago in Palo Alto, the northern part of California, there was an epidemic of young people actually killing themselves. They came from some of the richest families in the country. Why? And the reason is this. People want to be joyful, they want to be happy, but they're looking for joy and happiness in the wrong place. That's the reason why. And they're confusing joy with pleasure. Now you can buy pleasure. You can buy pleasure. What did the prodigal son do? His father gave him a lot of money, and he was buying what? A lot of things that brought him a lot of bodily pleasure, a lot of eating, a lot of drinking, as he read the prostitutes. In other words, he was buying a lot of pleasure. So money and wealth can buy us pleasure, but only God can give us true happiness. St. Paul in his letter to the Filipinos. The Philippines, rather. There was another reader that got up, and the letter of St. Paul to the theologians, okay? Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice in the Lord. Mary says in the Magnificat, Luke chapter 1, my spirit magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So I'm here to give a popular mission the next 3 days. I'd like to tell one more story, then I'd like to talk about the purpose of why I've come here from California these next four days. This is a story that I heard from Father Tim Gallagher, who's an oblate priest on EWTN. Once there was a 15-year-old girl that was suffering a lot of depression. So her mother took her to a professional, psychologist, and she went to the psychologist every week for months and then even years. And the girl was not improving. Actually, she was getting worse. Years passed. The girl was already 25 years old and the situation was almost catastrophic. She was thinking about committing suicide. But something happened. The psychologist was an atheist, didn't believe in God, one day wandered into a Catholic church in the middle of that town. And who was in the Catholic church was this girl. And all of a sudden popped into the scene this man dressed in a black robe. We call that person a priest. Went into a little box, kind of looks like a closet, we call it the confessional. And then the light was turned on. And then the girl entered in after the priest into that little box. And the psychologist, who was a non-believer, was watching all of this. And as the psychologist watched, he was looking at her watch. 5 minutes passed, 7 minutes passed, 8 minutes passed, 10 minutes passed. And the psychologist, who was a non-believer, witnessed her first miracle. The young woman, 25 years of old, left the confessional and she had a huge smile from ear to ear, radiating peace and joy and happiness. And the psychologist put her head in her hands and said, what I tried to accomplish in 10 years, I could not accomplish in what happened in that little box in 10 minutes. Because psychology can help us to get in touch with our emotions. But only Jesus Christ can heal the wounded heart. Amen? Only Jesus Christ can heal the wounded heart. So on my mission, I am very ambitious. I want this parish to be a model of sanctity for all of Houston, for all of Texas, for all of the United States, for that matter. I'm going to pray that all of you will become great saints. And I don't say that as a pious platitude or a cliche, but in truth, we're all called to become great saints. And I'm going to try to accomplish the five M's. If you look at the palm in your hand, there's an M there, right? You got five fingers. So I'm going to try to promote five objectives in my talks and my conferences and these next 3 days. The first M is meditation. Like the Blessed Virgin Mary, we want to meditate upon the Word of God in our heart. If we do not learn how to meditate, we're never going to get out of mediocrity. Teresa of Avila. And I think the biggest problem of the Catholic Church is mediocrity. Lukewarmness. You're neither hot nor cold, you're lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Or if you like the word, vomit. Too many mediocre Catholics. The Catholic Church is a sleeping giant. 1.2 billion. Most are asleep. Most don't even go to church on Sunday. Only 25% in this country go to church on Sunday. So, we invite you to meditate. So after every conference, I'm going to be giving you a couple of articles that I wrote to meditate upon when you go home. Read those articles. Don't turn them into airplanes, okay? Okay. Rather, read and meditate upon the articles. The second M is mercy. Mercy. Spanish, misericordia. Mercy. How are we going to experience mercy? Like the girl in the story. She experienced the mercy of God. That's what she was lacking until she was 25 years old. She entered the confessional, received absolution, was forgiven like the prodigal son, and she was born again. Amen? I want all of you to make a general confession. General does not mean abstruse or abstract confession of your whole life. Get it all out. Now is the time to get it all out. We're in the very heart of Lent. This is the most important season of the year. Get it all out. Now is the time. As Paul says, do not wait until tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? Because we're Ignatian, we oblates, we give Ignatian exercises. Obviously, we aim in our retreats and missions, make a general confession. Maybe you hid something in one of the confessions because of shame or fear. Well, that means a bad confession, right? So make the general confession, get it all out. And the worst sinner can become the greatest saint if you trust. Jesus, I trust in you. Amen? Amen. Number three. I'm here 3 days, but I am making a sacrifice for you. I'm going to say 3 masses a day. One in the morning, one at midday, one in the evening. So I want all of you to fall in love with a Mass. The greatest prayer in the world is the Mass, the holy sacrifice of the Mass. I've never been able to understand, if you really understand what the Mass is, why didn't you come to Mass every day? I've never understood, maybe it might be I'm a simpleton. How could you possibly believe in the real presence and not want to receive the Eucharist every day? You know, one communion is worth more than the whole created universe. Amen? Because Holy Communion is God. It's not a symbol. We're not Protestants, are we? No. It's truly and substantially the body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of Jesus Christ. The greatest action you can do in your life is this. Body of Christ, amen. Body of Christ, amen. Body of Christ, amen. That's the greatest action you can do in your life, and your salvation depends on that because of John chapter 6. I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. John chapter 6. So our salvation depends on the Mass. So we'll come at 8:30 or 12:10 or come at 5:30. We want all of you to be coming to receive the Eucharist in Mass. Your salvation depends upon it. Next is mission. Mission. That's the fourth M. Mission. All of you are called to be missionaries. How many of you are baptized? Hey, priest, prophet, and king. Remember those words? Priest, prophet, and king. What does prophet mean? You got to announce the good news. Are any of you confirmed? What did the bishop say? Remember? You forgot. You're called to defend the faith and spread the faith. Okay? Can you do that? You're called to defend the faith. Do it with your hands. You're called to defend the faith and spread. Do it. You're called to defend the faith and spread the faith. You're called to defend the faith and spread the faith. I saw you getting drowsy. I want to get involved in the homily, huh? So defend the faith and spread the faith. Yes. That comes from confirmation. What were the last words of Jesus Christ in the Gospel of Matthew? We don't know, Father. We're not Protestants. Okay, heard you. Okay. All right, I heard you. I was reading your mind. No? Well, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, go out to the whole world teaching all that I taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. And behold, I'm with you always until the end of the world. Amen? The last words of Jesus, a missionary mandate. It's a missionary mandate that Jesus wants all people to become Catholics. Here's a tricky question for you. What is the biggest religious group in Mexico, the Philippines, Argentina, South America, and the United States? The biggest religious group in those, as well as Rome and France. Non-practicing Catholics. It's true. The biggest religious group in this country and Europe and South America are non-practicing Catholics. That's why you have to be missionaries. You got to beat out the Jehovah Witnesses, huh? You got to beat out the Mormons, huh? Beat out those Mormons, beat out the JWs, huh? You got to beat them out. They're in fire. We're asleep. We got the fullness of the truth. We're asleep. We're a sleeping giant. They got the fullness of error and they got fire. We don't, you know, we'd have a prayer in the prayer of the faithful. Lord, we pray that we would have the fire and zeal of the Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons. We pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. I think we have to add that to the prayer of the faithful, no? Because they're on fire. But we're asleep. That's why you're called to be missionaries. The last M is Mary. Any people here have devotion to Mary? Poco o mucho? Mucho, muchísimo. Okay. We all want, as a result of this mission, to love the Blessed Virgin Mary. St. Louis de Montfort says, in true devotion, the quickest, easiest, most efficacious pathway to the heart of Jesus is through the Blessed Virgin Mary. Amen? So those are the five M's that I am very ambitious to be able to accomplish in these 3 days. Meditation, mercy, Mass, mission, and great devotion to Mary. If you can carry that out, I'm going to pray that one day that all of you will be a jewel in the crown of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Amen.